everyone. We wanted to tell you about a new show we are loving, the Culture Study Podcast with Anne Helen Peterson.
It's a show about exploring the nooks and crannies of the culture that surrounds you. Each week, Anne and a super smart co-host answer listeners' questions about the stuff they find interesting and perplexing, like, why do clothes suck now? Is Paw Patrol propaganda, or is it not that deep? And what's the deal with everyone I know getting a divorce?
Like Anne's tremendously popular newsletter, the Culture Study Podcast is funny, insightful, and kind of weird. And it's guaranteed to help you become the most interesting person at parties. Listen to the Culture Study Podcast every Wednesday, wherever you get your shows.
This podcast is free. And it's accessible to everyone, thanks to support from listeners like you. If you value this show, please consider supporting its production by donating to our home, KUOW. It only takes a minute to give, and you'll be helping to support the production of this podcast. Make a donation at KUOW.org or follow the link in the show notes. And thanks!
Quickly, people should know, this podcast is not about facts, news, or information. Okay?
Megan's a little bit scary, and she yells at adults.
For sure.
And I am quivering. Text me back.
Text me back. Text me back at once.
Why won't you text me back?
Text
me. Text me back. Text me back, Megan.
To Text Me Back Live! The funniest thing that happened to Seattle, Washington since Mayor Paul Schell got whacked on the noggin with a megaphone. I'm Megan Hatcher-Mays.
I'm Lindy West!
Is that you?
That's me.
Hi, you look so nice.
Thank you, so do you.
Thanks.
I know that you had a drama with your outfit. We talked about it on the podcast.
Because it's time to do some live tidings.
Oh yeah, folks. Sorry. I forgot to say the cue.
We're so used to recording it and being like, what are we doing? What does it, Jeannie, Brandy, help? But now it's live.
Yeah, so we have to say it all right the first time. Anyway, we're gonna do tidings.
Tidings!
Tidings is a recurring segment on the show where we talk about what's up. It doesn't need to have a name, but no. We gave it one.
And good tidings to you.
Good tidings to you, Megan.
Yeah.
By the way, I have to have this water. Okay. There's two over there.
Well, so I'm going to take both of those.
Okay.
All right.
There's also something here that looks like a mouse turd, which I have expertise with because I live in the country.
You know, I think it might be.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Sorry, I'm a female woodsman, as known. Anyway. So Megan's here visiting from D.C. We had a wonderful day today.
We did.
We went for a walk, and we had breakfast
we had
at the
breakfast
hotel.
At the hotel, and you had to hold me back from fighting a man. Yeah.
It's true.
The pheromone was released. Well, here's what happened. Let me just tell you what happened. So we were having just a stunning, lovely breakfast at our hotel. And all of a sudden, I hear this man, crystal clear. And before I even turned around, I knew he was Caucasian. Because he said so boldly, you know, I'm so glad to see Amy Coney Barrett isn't as crazy as some of the other justices. And I went, she's in a cult! I was so mad. And Lindy was like, stop. Stop it.
That's actually not true. If that's the psychic text that you thought you were getting from me, it's not what I was saying. I was saying you should turn around and tell him. I actually really wanted to see, but
so bad.
Because he kept going. He like went through all the justices and sort of ranked them based on how bad they were. But it seemed like all of his answers were wrong. But I couldn't actually hear because Megan was hissing
and her head was spinning. So you hear more of what he said?
Yeah. Well, so the reason this came up is because last night or two nights ago, Sonia Sotomayor, another justice, and Amy Coney Barrett did some event together to prove that the court is not divided, which is something I guess liberals are obsessed with. They love the idea that, like, oh, just because we disagree doesn't mean she's a bad person. It's like, you know, we disagree about whether or not women are human beings. It's like, of course she's a fucking bad person. Like, what the hell? So I was like, well, way to go, Sonia, because now this jagoff in the restaurant fell for it hook, line, and sinker and thinks that Amy Coney Barrett is normal. And then he was like, you know, and John Roberts isn't too bad either. I was like, oh my God. I was like, his whole raison d'etre is to gut the Voting Rights Act, which he has done, and now you can't hand out water to people waiting to vote in Georgia. So fuck that guy as well. Anyway, so I was white knuckling the chair at the restaurant. I was like, oh my God, let me at him. But he did correctly point out that Alito is the worst. So that was good for him.
He deserves one whittle forehead kiss for that.
One whittle.
Which you gave him.
On the head. I did. I patted him on his head and I said, good job.
Yeah, and then we went and walked around downtown and got some steps in, which was great for us because Megan and I are both doing a special app that we found, which is a non-licensed Lord of the Rings ripoff called Walk to Fire Mountain or something.
I think it's called Fantasy Walk or something.
Yeah, you're right. So it tracks your steps and then it'll be like, oh, well, for me it'll be like, oh, you got 13 feet closer. Like, I am, there's like fake characters that are called like,
yeah,
you know, Dilgo Braggins or whatever. And then it's like, I'm like 900,000 miles behind Dilgo Braggins.
Well, he's so fast.
He's really fast.
He's so fast.
And then there's one character that they put in to make you feel good about yourself named Alice
Proudfoot.
Alice Proudfoot.
And she's still kicking my ass.
She's still kicking my ass. She's so slow and I'm so far behind her.
Well, they'll send you notifications like, Alice is staring at a cloud. And you're like, this is my chance. I might be able to pass her.
No.
So we're putting in the work on the way to Mount Fire.
Right.
The famous mountain.
It's also the app. We don't need to talk about the app all night. But
yes, we do.
The app does some calculations. So it's every once in a while, and I don't look at it that often because it doesn't make me feel good. But every once in a while, I'll open it, and then it'll say, "Okay, based on your pace, you're going to get to Mount Fire in." This is what it told. This is what it said. 2032.
I mean, in your defense, the movie flattens the timeline.
Yes.
Okay.
Like, thank you.
Gandalf was gone for 17 years. Okay. Like, we're on pace. We're
Thank
on
you.
Frodo's pace. Thank you.
Thank you.
Like, come on.
Sorry, anyway. I don't have a horse.
So that's what we've been up to. Those are our tidings.
Yep.
You know, it was a great day.
Tidings. Tidings.
Time for more delicious tidings.
Now you do yours.
Oh.
Do you have them? Tidings. But we were also wondering if you don't listen to the podcast, you should. It's really good.
Yeah, what the hell?
It's okay. No, you're not in trouble. But
I didn't say that.
I'm autonomous.
Okay.
And you're not in trouble with me. Megan, I don't know. But a big deal on the podcast is that we try very hard to build a robust mythology of characters, lore. And so, because we like to tell funny haha tales of strange adventures and creatures that we meet and crimes that Megan commits. Okay, but listen, we were thinking that probably there's some people here who have been, you know, players in some of these tales and contributors to the lore.
Yeah.
And I was just wondering if you are here and you maybe did vandalism with Megan in the 90s.
Did anyone here do vandalism with Megan in the 90s?
Or maybe you lived with Megan and Oprah the rat that lived in their wall.
Yes. 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 That was the best.
If you contributed to the lore in any way and you're not shy, I feel like you should stand up and be acknowledged and applauded.
You don't have to. If you were, I know there's a tea saucer in this audience, by the way. You don't have to stand up if you don't want to. By the way, the tea saucing, if
yes,
yes. By the way, it wasn't just tea sauce. So if you don't know that story, it was that we would get really bored when my friend's mom was out of town, and we would drive around Magnolia and Queen Anne targeting like BMWs and Lexuses and stuff with the little tartar sauce packets from McDonald's. And it was a class conscious crime. We always punched up, never punched down. And then for a while, so we used to get the tartar sauce packets in a big bag from the McDonald's on Lower Queen Anne across the street from the from the Space Needle, which doesn't exist anymore. My supplier got shut down. But then they got wise to us, and they were like, no, we're not going to sell you 50 packets of tartar sauce anymore. So then we just started going in our mom's fridge for like condiments, expired condiments, and making our own little packets. So shout out to my tea saucers. I'm also so happy Amanda from Oprah the Rat fame is here too, because man, I had forgotten that I named the rat Oprah. By the way, I love Oprah. It was an honor to be for the rat.
It's not a roast. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you love the rat.
I do.
Yeah. There also might be people here who sent in messages and then had their messages read on the air and became part of the lore, such as people whose kids have seen ghosts and scared the shit out of us. Anyway, I just want... Can we just give a round of applause to everyone who's contributed to the lore really quick?
Thank you.
I love you.
We really, truly couldn't do it without you. And you people with spooky kids... You've got to get that under control. It's very stressful, and I have lost a lot of sleep after we started making this podcast.
Okay, but fourth category I'd like to hear from, and then I promise this agonizing moment will be over. Who here's been to one of Lindy West family reunions?
Oh. I just think it's so nice that we have a show where people are contributing to the lore, and it's like, and they're just engaged with our ridiculous like inside jokes, you know? Like, we've been friends for so long, almost 25 years. I have been to 4 of your family reunions.
Yeah, and there have only been, I think, 7 since ever. There have been 7.
And they're not local, by the way.
No.
They're in Norway.
In fact, you've not been, there's only been one local one and you weren't at it.
Yeah, I didn't know you yet.
No.
Yeah.
So Megan started coming to my family reunions in 2002.
I think, yeah.
So that means you only missed North Dakota, you missed one Norway, and then you missed Ocean Shores. However, I missed one that you didn't miss.
That's right.
So I'm actually only 2 ahead of you.
Yeah, that's right. I went in 2002, 2007, 2012. I missed 2017.
Oh, that's right. You missed that one too.
Yeah. And then reunited with your family in 2022, and you did not attend. So it was just me and your mom, who is here, and your cousin, Kelsey.
Yep.
As well, and and your stepkids. We just hung out in Oslo together.
Yeah, I just decided not to go.
Oh, did you? You just decided you were just busy?
Yep.
Is that why you didn't go?
Yep.
Do you want to tell the people why you didn't go?
That's the reason.
It's not because you didn't feel like it. You were double booked? You were booked, yeah. Was that the reason?
Yep.
Because, I mean, you had your passport, your tickets ready to go. It's just that you were busy.
I had my tickets ready to go.
Oh, just the tickets? What happened to the passport? What happened to the passport, Lindy?
Okay, here's a little story about America. If you are stupid and bad, but then people start giving you big checks to, say, write a book, but that's a freelance tax rate. So you have to take 40% of the money and you have to hide it and not and pretend it doesn't exist. And if you don't put enough of it in the whole the secret place, they come and they ask you for it.
Yeah.
And then if you don't have it anymore, because you needed it to live, then they you have to pay them on a payment plan. Yep. Which is great. Actually, they're really nice. They're really nice. Like
you heard it here first. The IRS is
they
very
are.
Nice.
They're actually one of the. They're really nice. Like, the only thing they don't like is if you pretend they don't exist, and like they don't like if you ghost them. But as long as you call them and you're like, I'm stupid. They're like, it's okay.
Yeah, everybody's stupid.
They're like, thank
this
you
country
for
was founded by like 12 of the stupidest dudes ever. It's fine.
Yeah, they're actually really, they're really nice, and they actually do, like, want to help you figure it out.
Yeah.
But anyway, so I was on this payment plan, and then when COVID happened, I lost, like, I don't know, 60% of my income, because my income was like, go talk to people.
In person.
You know what I mean? It was like, just none of it was happening anymore. So then I couldn't make my payments, and then they do it, so they do a thing if you don't make your, if you become delinquent on your payment plan, and then coincidentally that same summer you have to have your passport renewed so that you can go to the family reunion, then you send it in, and then they say, okay, come pick it up. And then you go pick it up, and you wait in the line, and then you get to the front, and then the man looks at you, and he pulls a white envelope, he like gets your name, and he goes, oh, it's you. And then he gets a white envelope and he pulls it out of a drawer and then he slides it and he says, this is all I have for you. And then you open it and then it says, we took your passport.
Yeah. It's an 8.5 by 11 sheet of paper with the clown emoji on it. And they say, good luck traveling out of the country.
Yeah.
Idiot.
And then, yeah. And so then I called the IRS and I was crying and they were really nice. And she was like, this happens to a ton of people right now. Like, everyone's taxes are all fucked up, and it's fine. But she's like, all you have to do is get back on a payment plan. And, like, even if, like, she was like, you just have to be on an active payment plan. You can have your passport back. It'll just take, like, 6 weeks. And I was like, unfortunately, the trip is in 1 week.
And I already had my tickets. And I was like, you know what? I know your family. I'm just going to go.
And then I just haven't like done the paperwork. I haven't there's not what? No, it's look, it's underway now. My accountant, we're doing it. It's
you'll
all
have
happening.
It, you'll have it by
2027?
Well, 2027 is domestic, so you're good there.
Yeah, it's fine. So yeah, oh you're right, 2032. Oh, and then I'll finally get to Mount Fire. Okay, that would have been a great way to end that segment.
But I
want you to tell that story that you told in the toast at my wedding about.
Oh my God! Yeah, that's a good story. So you had this. You had two great aunts, Signe and was it Eleanor? I think.
Are those the two that had the feud? I can't remember.
No, they didn't have a feud. They had that.
I mean the disagreement.
No. I'm
okay. Sorry.
I'm setting up the story about them. So there was an intermediate. Family reunion at your cabin, and so a bunch of your family came to that, and Signe came to that, and I had just gotten married to my husband, who is a man, unfortunately. So we're out at the cabin, and like showing Signe like photos from my wedding and stuff. She's like, "Oh, that looks great." And then later, she like went up to your mom, and she was like, "Man, I wish Eleanor was still alive. I could have settled that bet." And Ingrid's like, what are you talking about? She's like, you know, we had a bet going. Were Megan and Lindy just friends? Or was it more? And Signe's money was on that we were just friends. Eleanor's money was on that we were at any moment might smooch. Or more. So it was great. Like they had been wondering about it for 15 years. And never asked.
That's what I love about Scandinavia. Is you can't you couldn't just ask.
No.
Your niece, hey, are you gay?
Have you been in a gay relationship with that woman since 2002?
Although it's
it's funny, like, no, the real answer is that she just comes to the reunion.
I'm just obsessed. I'm really obsessed with your family, and I want to know what's all going on. I like it.
It's fun.
Our show is called Text Me Back, so we want to invite you to our group chat.
Do you have any questions for us about your own friendship dilemmas? Maybe friendships with ghosts?
Ooh.
Or just some personal tidings of your own? No song needed, but encouraged.
Very encouraged. We want to include your questions and tidings on the show, so text us to join the Text Me Back text club. Text BFF to 206-926-9955. That's 206-926-9955.
And even if we can't text you back every time, we pinky promise to read all of your texts and think about how to include them in the show.
Well, we were getting ready for this show. We had some big ideas. And we were like, can we get Dave Matthews to be the guest? No. Well, unless he's here because he bought a ticket because he's a fan of the show, but...
Did he? David?
Is anyone here David Matthews?
Little baby! Are you here? No, he's not here.
No, I actually pushed pretty hard, and we do have a couple of connections to Dave. Like, we got some people that know some people that... Because he's at least used to live here. I don't know. I saw him once in Wallingford on the street in 2005. So there's proof that he was here once. But anyway, then Megan said absolutely not.
I did.
Because Megan is a coward who can't stand behind her words.
I just was like, why would we bring him here just to be hated upon? By me, and you don't even like him that much. You were like, I listened to that one song, and we're going to bring this man out here for you to be like, I like that one song, and she doesn't like you at all? Like, I think he has better things to do.
Yeah,
show
we
some
can't.
Respect.
It would be for free. Like, dude, it's not like we could pay him.
I think we might have sprung for an Uber from Wallingford to here. That's like $40.
I still think it would have been great.
Yeah.
Maybe next live show. We discussed Gary Payton. Is he available?
He's Gary,
available.
Are you? Is Gary Payton here? Sean Kemp. Did they come together? By any chance?
Yeah, we couldn't get him. We couldn't get him. But that's okay. They suck. But we did.
We do actually have a real guest, like
yeah,
a real live.
A true superstar.
Yeah.
Our guest tonight. Is the elite Angela Garbez. I know. Angela Garbez is the author of Essential Labor, Mothering a Social Change, which was called A Landmark and a Lightning Storm by The New Yorker. Essential Labor was named a best book of 2022 by both The New Yorker and NPR. Angela's writing has appeared in The New York Times, The Nation, The Washington Post, The Atlantic, and featured on The Daily Show with Trevor Noah and NPR's Fresh Air. She lives with her family. Woo! On Beacon Hill, she's one of my most dearest friends in the world.
What?
She's my number one best friend.
And she's replacing me as
and
co-host
the
on
new
this podcast.
Co-host of the show. I love Angela. I've loved her for many years, and I'm so excited to talk to her. Please welcome to the stage, Angela Garbez!
A real life celeb!
What's up?
Celeb
code. What's up? Yeah, okay, now it's working. Hi. So, didn't realize I was second fiddle to Dave Matthews.
I mean... I would have chosen you first, but, you know.
You're first fiddle. You're first fiddle. Well, except for the actual fiddle player in the Dave Matthews
Band. I mean, I would have not. No, I think his name is, I want to say his name is something like Lloyd.
That sounds
right. It's a very dignified name, and he's
Megan,
ripped.
Surely you know this.
Yeah. It's been a while. I don't know.
Lewis?
Is it
Lloyd?
Yes. Thank you.
Nailed it. Before we move into our things, I have a special present for you guys.
Oh my God. Is it a puppy?
Because what? I'm replacing you as the... Bye. I wanted you guys to have a token of your best friendship forever.
Thanks.
You will always be in our hearts. Okay. So one of my hobbies that I've taken up in the last year is watercolor painting. And I've found that I really enjoy portraiture. So this is all very new to me because I spent most of my life thinking that I was terrible at art. But okay, so this is my big reveal.
Oh my God.
I'm gonna put down my microphone.
Look at this! Oh my God! It's a beautiful, okay. watercolor painting.
It's a beautiful BFF necklace. Of Lindy and Megan.
I love it.
Megan, you're wearing the fur hat that Ingrid gave you.
Yeah, from Mongolia.
Okay, and so this is the best part, though. Like any Ingrid best friend necklace.
Oh. My God!
For
anyone, St. Anne.
Anyone listening on the radio, she is ripping the necklace in half.
Oh my God!
And then we each get to wear a half.
And I think you guys get the half that's not you.
Yeah.
Right? Yes. So. Yes.
Thank you, Angela.
Oh my God, Angela!
It's beautiful. I'm gonna wear it every day.
Yay!
I love it.
I just love friends and friendship and love.
Aren't friends
and so
kick
I want
ass?
To celebrate.
We love a best friend.
You know, I'm a huge fan of your art, so this really means a lot to me. I commissioned a portrait from you for Christmas for my dear husband, Aha Mayfale.
Yes, you did.
And of his current favorite basketball player,
Shai Gilgeous-Alexander.
Yes. And it's top of the pile to get framed. It's going, it's so good. Anyway.
Yeah, the IRS doesn't have my passport, but if you would like to hire me to commission me to paint a portrait, I'm a writer out in these streets, and I could use some extra money.
Look how beautiful. Stunning.
Okay, so Angela, the theme of this show, kind of, is texting. And you recently texted me a photograph that is incredible, and also near and dear, like, subject-wise to the things that we talk about on the show. That's a really elegant way to say that. It's thematically linked to some stuff we've been talking about lately, and can we please show the picture, and then will you...
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
This is great. Can you tell us what's going on here?
So this is, we're in our, in the background you'll see one of my Crocs. This is in our laundry room. This is just before we brought out my daughter, Lagaya, who's here, who turned 6 last week. She requested a Giannis Antetokounmpo as a buck cake. Apparently this was slightly disappointing to her, though she still
what?
Did enjoy it. She thought that we were gonna like paint his visage and all of that, but instead I went the petroleum-based product route, and we have a Hasbro doll, and then, but so this is great. I'm in this amazing NBA thread with people all across the country. I really lucked out into this weird thing. And one kind man named Garrett Bucks, who lives in Milwaukee and his favorite team is his last name, the Bucks. When I was on this text thread being like, my daughter has requested this, like anything. People are like, ChatGPT says that you should make a cake shaped like a Buck bust and then put a Giannis jersey on it. And he was like, would a broken Giannis bobblehead be of any use to you? And I was, send it. So then I ripped the head off the Giannis bobblehead. It's okay because we all agree it doesn't actually look
not
like Giannis.
All.
It does not
it looks
all.
More no. like Michael Redd, who's a player who was previously on the Bucks. And so then the deer that I got, I clipped off the doe's ears and then shoved that Michael Giannis head on there. And we have this cake.
It's beautiful.
And yeah.
Well, Angela, you're big. NBA fan, as you've established.
Yes.
We love to play games on the show. We're going to play more games later, but we would like to invite you now to do a 2 minutes love on the NBA. On the show, we've done 2 minutes hate, where we rant about something that we hate. For me, it was Dick Durbin. And for you, it was
cream cheese frosting.
Oh, cream cheese. Frosting. So sorry. Which I'm Team Megan on that.
I mean,
I know. Look, I know. This it's is okay. The snobbery about which no, I was ranting.
I want you to love.
I want the soft animal of your body to love what it loves.
Thank you.
It loves buttercream.
But yeah. Because this is such an illustrious event, because we're all together in community, we thought maybe we should not hate. We thought we should love. So okay. I'm going to put 2 minutes on the clock, okay. Which I should have had ready, but I didn't. Yeah. And I would like you, Angela, please, 2 minutes. Love!
I don't play basketball. I scored 1 point in the eighth grade. I made 2 free throws, but I stepped over the line on the second one. So I've always felt that sports is like this thing for like dudes, right? Or like super athletic women. And I consider myself athletic in ways that are not related to team sports. Like I can dance you off a floor, like, right? But so I've always been sort of bothered by like sports fandom as a thing that people feel like they're not allowed to be, or you're supposed to like have all the stats memorized, or always remember the in-season tournament name. But but so one thing I love about sports, and I think it's about sort of reclaiming it, which is like there's so many ways into it, and I want to point out to everyone here, we don't no longer have an NBA team, boo.
Boo.
They went to OKC, but we have a WNBA team. And guys, I don't know if you know, big off-season moves. We have a big three now. We have Neke Omagumake. We have Skylar Diggins-Smith, who is one of the best people to talk about postpartum health and maternal health issues, just so you know. And we have the Golden Mamba herself, Jewel Lloyd. So I'd just like to say, it's very, very fun. It's just fun to be a fan. And when I think about the NBA, I think about there are names like Taco Fall, Tiago Splitter, right? You can debate things like who has the best name. You can talk about how Giannis in his rookie year was obsessed with Smalley King Arena because Smalley's, oh my God, had never had them before and loved them. You can talk about things like how Steve Nash, when he did his like free throw rituals, would like fake throw and then lick his fingers and slick his hair back. And also how like Gilbert Arenas for a while, they would do these like three around his waist before he did his thing. And there's just all these different versions. It's so human. Like currently maybe the best player in the NBA is a guy who's Serbian, Nikola Jokic, who doesn't even like basketball that much. He loves horses more than anything. That's all I have to say. Everyone can be a fan.
Thank you. I'm here for the human drama.
Can I just say one thing? First of all, thank you for coming on and doing 2 minutes love NBA. I just found out backstage that you met your husband because of a shared love of basketball. Yes. And I love that that didn't make the cut for the 2 minutes love.
Oh. I'm obsessed.
Wait, will you can you please tell that story? Because it's so funny.
Yeah, well, so my husband, who's here in the audience, my wonderful husband, Will, we are married because Allen Iverson got traded to the Denver Nuggets. So in 2007, so I grew up in Pennsylvania. I was watching the Philadelphia 76ers. Allen Iverson, no arguments from anyone here, the most significant player to ever play the game. He got traded to the Denver Nuggets. My husband is from Colorado, so he roots for the Nuggets. Wave that Colorado flag! And so the Nuggets were the 8 seed. He was with Carmelo Anthony. The number 1 seed was the Spurs. They made it to the playoffs. They won the first game, and I was like, absolutely, they're winning the championship this year. I'm going to watch every single game. And my favorite thing to do was to go to the Roanoke, which was this bar on North Capitol Hill, the ivy-colored, like, yeah, love that bar. I used to go there to watch basketball games alone. And so I was watching game 2 of the Spurs-Nuggets series when a skinny white man who had clearly just gotten off of a bike like had it tucked in, maybe had his helmet. There were like 3 people in the bar, but he sat down next to me and was just like hanging around. And then after a few minutes was like, wait, are you here to watch the game? And I was like, shock. And now we've been married for 13 years and we have 2 children.
It's just like the downstream effects of Allen Iverson getting traded to the Nuggets.
Yes.
I hope it's really tell him that someday.
It was a life-changing event.
I love it. Anyway, you're a parenting expert, and so Lindy has a parenting question for you.
Yeah, okay, yeah. Speaking of postpartum and maternal health, I don't know if you've been following this really important blockbuster story out of North Carolina. There's a stingray named Charlotte.
Named Charlotte?
And okay. Mm-hmm. At the Hendersonville, North Carolina Zoo or Aquarium or something. I didn't read the
it
whole.
It doesn't matter.
The Zooquarium?
Don't worry about it. And Charlotte is pregnant. Charlotte is about to give birth to her pups. That's what baby stingrays are called. And any day now. But the thing is, there were no other stingrays in the tank with Charlotte.
Oh.
Gasp.
Yeah. She was swimming around. There were other creatures in the tank.
Okay.
There were little sharks in the tank.
Mm.
There were no other stingrays in the tank. So scientists are working with two theories here. Either Charlotte had made love with a shark, or Charlotte is having a sort of spontaneous virgin birth.
And which is not unheard of in nature. There are insects and some animals who have figured out how to reproduce without males. So,
well, and an episode of House as
and
well.
And humans, yes, thank you.
There was an episode of House about this, which is a documentary.
I mean, men are...
So. Also famously Jurassic Park. This is the plot of Jurassic Park. So, I don't know if you know that.
So I guess there's, like, it's not unheard of. Like, males are becoming obsolete.
Yeah.
Sure. Great. Thanks.
Okay, but so...
I guess my question for you... Oh, sorry, go ahead.
No, but you were saying...
My question for you as a parenting expert is just, which one are you rooting for? Which theory? Yeah.
Well, I mean, I think the obsoleteness of men and males is inevitable. So I would probably go with the shark theory because I am in an interracial marriage. I think we have much to learn from each other.
Sure.
And I think we should not fear a diverse gene pool.
A diverse gene tank.
Tank. Like, what do we have to fear? This is just soon we're all going to look like sharks.
I mean, what do you mean, what do we have to fear? She just said Jurassic Park. Like, we're going to be...
It's so true.
They're going to be in the streets. We're going to be running for our lives.
We do need a marine biologist to come tell us
if
humanity can stand up to the combined power of stingrays and sharks.
Can we?
But I think that my daughter told me that, I believe this is true, Lagai, also, that shark babies are called pups. But stingrays and sharks are having pups. Maybe they're like, you know,
shark, I think they are closely...
Stingray bottom?
What?
I don't know. What are you saying? You're saying it's like a mermaid,
it's like,
but it's like half
we
shark,
share
half
all
stingray?
Of, we share most of our DNA with like an orangutan. Right? You know what I mean? Like it's like...
Oh, I see.
They're
what you're
close in that way.
Yeah. Yeah.
They are each other's familiar.
I guess we'll find out in 3 to 5
business
days.
When does she give birth?
She hasn't given birth yet. They just did an ultrasound and all the pups are healthy.
Okay,
but okay, here's my last question for the parenting expert. Do you think the pups will come out half stingray, half shark down the middle, half top bottom like a mermaid, or like Lady and the Tramp, all the girls look like the mom and all the boys look like the dad?
I don't know. I mean, like, I think it's going to be all of those things. I don't know how many a litter is, but, like, what I have found is, like, you just really, genetics is wild.
Yeah.
And you get something beautiful and special every time. It's so I think they'll be cute, and I don't know. I have no idea. That's the fun part.
That's science, baby.
I feel like we're a little tiny bit ahead. So since you said the word genetics, I'm going to go off script for 1 second and tell you guys
God.
A quick anecdote.
Oh, God.
Okay. What? Don't worry. We just moved, and so we have new neighbors, and our neighbors invited us over for dinner, and they're lovely, and they're both retired microbiologists, and so I was asking them about what their specializations are, and then they both said that they spent 50 years studying the bacteria that causes UTIs, and so then we talked about urine for, like, the whole dinner. But
also,
it was so
bless
interesting.
Them. Bless
no,
them.
It was so interesting because... Actually, what they said was that some people don't get UTIs at all, and some people get chronic UTIs.
Who
and
are
so
you?
I've never had one. It's me.
What?
Yes. And then, I've never in my life. And then...
What?
And then they said... No. And then they said that they invented a product for disabled people who get chronic UTIs where they get a catheter and they inoculate it with bacteria from the UTI immune people...
And so they never have to get one again.
And then it inoculates the bladders of the people who... And it works!
Whoa.
Yeah!
Amazing! Science!
That only wasted 1 minute. That only wasted 1 minute, so no one can be mad
women
at me.
In STEM.
It literally is women in STEM. And except then... And then they were like, yeah, we actually got a patent on it and everything. However, it's apparently like very expensive to do.
Oh my God!
And
is this also, like caught up in the FDA, like,
probably.
The FDA.
Probably, but they said also like it doesn't last forever, so you have to like constantly get it like redone, and then but it works great.
Apparently,
I think I'll. All right.
So anyway, if anyone wants my bacteria,
wait, you're offering your bacteria?
Yeah.
All you have to do is go to the woods, harvest Lindy's. Bacteria.
You get in a tank, and then Lindy throws her bacteria UTIs into the tank
for the foreseeable future.
I know.
That's nice.
I asked for this, but isn't that interesting, though? I thought it was interesting, and also I liked it because it made me feel special. Okay. Megan,
we're gonna play a game. We're gonna play another game.
Okay.
Well, the first game was so fun.
Oh, that's right. I'm the host of this game.
You're the host of this
you
game.
You two are the contestants.
That's right. I'm a contestant of the game.
Okay.
Okay. So a thing that we like to do frequently on this show is we play versions of FMK, which is a famous game called Fuck, Marry, Kill. We're gonna say Frick, and we like to. We started doing it, for the first time we did it with the Fellowship of the Ring, which is 9 people, so we expanded it to 9 categories. And so 9 has sort of become the magic number, and then we realized there's another famous 9 out there, which is the U.S. Supreme Court. So
there they are, those beauties.
Yeah.
Those beauties.
And your contestants are Chief Justice John Roberts, Clarence Thomas, Samuel Alito, Sonia Sotomayor, Elena Kagan, Neil Gorsuch, Brett Kavanaugh, Amy Coney Barrett.
In a cult, by the way.
Who's not crazy. And Ketanji Brown Jackson. And your new categories are Frick, Mary. Now, we don't want to get dragged out of here by the Secret Service?
Who no, it would be the U.S. Marshals.
The U.S. Marshals. We don't want them involved. So this is... kick in the butt. We're not killing anyone.
Kill. No one's saying that. Mm. No one's saying that.
Bring to your family reunion. Yes. Play one-on-one against Giannis. And you can choose human Giannis or Giannis as half buck, yeah. I think.
Yeah, we should be specific when we answer.
Yeah, be specific in your answer. Yeah. Trapped forever inside a stingray's uterus.
Oh,
not fatal. Accidentally trip and fall into the fires of Mount Doom while scuffling for control of the One Ring. Also not murder, it was an accident. You tripped and fell.
You were the one who did it.
Okay, give Shaq a pedicure on his size 24 gnarly toes.
Yep.
And then lick Barry's ear medicine. My dog currently has a yeast infection in his ear. So I'm so curious to hear how both of you...
I see that Megan has notes.
I was afraid that I would forget who I wanted for which.
Okay. I'm just going to continue to reference the image here.
Yeah.
Okay, so Frick Love With. Who do you pick, Angela?
I do know that Megan and I did discuss this and we share this. It is, I'm not proud.
I'm not proud of this.
Unfortunately.
I'm so sorry.
But Neil Gorsuch can get it.
I am so sorry. I really am sorry. I mean, look at him.
He's kind of hot.
I mean,
a silver fox.
We're not talking about lifelong partnerships here.
No, I suspect the D is good.
In my defense, he was picked by Donald Trump on purpose because he was handsome. Donald Trump said, "Get me somebody out of central casting," and look who they got.
I know, yeah.
He's so handsome.
In my defense, I have an ex who I really care about, who shares a last name, so it's like I already did it.
Yeah.
That's my reasoning.
Listen, I'm not proud of it. I'm very sorry, but this show is about being honest.
You know, we're being honest. Tough choices.
Tough choices.
Choices were made, okay?
You know? Yeah. And it's about getting canceled for clout.
That's brave. So. Honestly, that's brave.
Thanks.
Okay, who are you going to marry? Aw.
I'm going to marry Ketanji Brown Jackson.
Obviously,
yeah,
same.
My beautiful baby.
Same, obviously.
Can I do a quick brag?
Yeah.
So before I became a part-time podcast host, I used to be a democracy policy expert, and I worked on her confirmation as part of Indivisible's grassroots organization. I didn't really like do that much stuff, but then after she got confirmed, I got an email from the White House that I assumed was just spam. I was like, oh, it's a phishing scam. And it was like, you're cordially invited to come to the White House and celebrate the confirmation of Ketanji Brown Jackson. I was like, you are not getting my social security number, Joe Biden, forget it. I thought it was fake. And then a friend of mine who worked in the White House was like, oh, did you get the invite? Are you gonna come? And I was like, are you fucking serious? Are you fucking kidding me? And it was real, and I got to go, and she was there with Joseph Robinette Biden and Kamala Harris, and she was so nice, and she was so beautiful, and I was like, I would marry you, you're so wonderful. And she's a badass.
Yes.
She's so great. I'm not suggesting that you should go listen to Supreme Court oral arguments. You don't need to do all that, but she brings something to the court that has been missing, which is actually like an awareness that race exists.
There you go. Yep.
And it's too bad that we have to rely on the one black woman who's ever been on the court to be that voice, but she's amazing, and I would marry her in a heartbeat.
Yes, obviously. Also, did you see her girls at her confirmation
so cute.
Hearing? Like, I would love to raise my children with Ketanji Brown Jackson.
Yeah, she's in a stingray shark marriage as well. Yeah. So. So that's good.
There you go.
You picked her too?
Yeah, I picked her too. Yeah.
Oh, duh. Yeah. Oh, this is great. Okay.
Okay, who are you going to kick in the butt?
I'm kicking only in the butt, not with great intent and malice in my heart, with no regrets. I'm kicking Kavanaugh.
Nice. Yeah. That's good. I picked something worse for Kavanaugh. So I picked John Roberts for this one. I just really quickly want to say, if you are the guy who was at breakfast with us this morning, here's what you need to know about John Roberts. He has dedicated his legal career to overturning and repealing the Voting Rights Act, and he did it. And he deserves a lot worse than a kick in the butt, but we can start with the butt. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So I feel like the wound is still very fresh with Kavanaugh, that I just am like... I mean, I do believe, like, I would prefer to have someone live a long and miserable life.
Yes.
Right? But when I thought about it, I was like, let's just fucking get rid of him.
Yeah.
I don't have time.
All right. Who are you bringing to your family reunion so that your great aunt thinks that you're gay together till the day she dies? Megan Hatcher-Mays, who is your Megan Hatcher-Mays?
I think we all know it's Sonia Sotomayor.
Clearly!
She's my roommate coded. And much like Ketanji Brown Jackson, she's fascinating. She's got great, she's wonderful in oral arguments. She has a lot of intersectional belief. Did not love the free PR she gave Amy Coney Barrett last night, but sometimes families make mistakes. So I will be bringing her to Oslo in 2032. Get excited.
I will also be bringing Sonia Sotomayor because she is, in fact, a member of my family, those of us who were colonized by the Spanish.
Nice.
I'd like to break down colonialism with Sonia Sotomayor.
Yes. She's actually here right now.
Yay!
She's like... Okay, who are you going to force to play one-on-one against Giannis Antetokounmpo, and is this Giannis in human form or Giannis in centaur form?
I had to look this up because this whole time I was working with an image of Alito that was Antonin Scalia. turns out they're both Italian.
Same vibes.
But I was kind of going just like with height, and no matter what, whoever would be absolutely humiliated by our Greek freak, a wonderful immigrant who contributes to our economy and culture.
Hell yeah.
So I paired him up with Samuel Alito.
I like that. I went for what I thought would be the funniest visually. So I picked Elena Kagan. That's her on the right. If you don't know, this woman is like 4'11". That's not a joke. And Giannis is 6'8". So I think he's 7, like 6'10". 6'10".
Like he's young.
Just the thought of those two. So I'm picking Giannis the man, not Giannis the bobblehead buck. Giannis the man versus Elena Kagan the woman, like, 4'11".
It would be real cute.
Wingspan of probably 3 feet only.
She could live in his shoe.
She does live in his shoe. She does. She's ever so tiny, so I just thought that would be fun to watch.
Can I say something really quickly about Alito?
Yes.
Yeah, please. I can't... Can anyone even recognize this man? Like, he looks like nothing. Yeah. I just feel like if I saw him on the street, I would walk right into him as though he were a ghost. Like, I just feel like...
You wouldn't be like, hey, are you the man who orchestrated the repeal of all of my fundamental rights?
I'm not
you
saying
don't look like it.
I'm not saying I'm not mad at him. Yeah. I'm just saying his face has
like
no features.
Yeah.
I don't understand what he looks like.
It is giving Play-Doh.
It's giving Mr. Potato Head with all the stuff removed.
He's in his potato era. He's in his gnocchi era.
Okay. The only reason I mention this is because I actually have... I have two superpowers. In addition to my bulletproof bladder, I also... I am a super recognizer, and I recognize people that I met... people that I went to third grade with who then moved away. You know what I mean? Like, I will be like... There's, you know.
You literally earlier today texted me from Shake Shack and you're like, there's a man in here who I recognize. I know he wronged me personally. I can't remember what he did, so I'm not sure how mad I am at him, but I know he fucked me over. It was amazing.
I also have the superpower, and like 20 minutes before I was here, we were in the international district, my family, and we were turning a corner and I was like, oh! And someone was like, what? And I was like, I know that guy. He used to work at Sonic Boom Records. Like, literally 18 years ago. I was like, I'm positive it's him. He's aged well.
It's honestly a humiliating power because...
No, totally.
I will be like... People will introduce themselves to me and I'll be like, I know.
Yeah, we met once. We met once in 2011 at that house party.
We sat next to each other at a nail salon. We got pedicures. Anyway... Whom on the court are you going to trap forever inside of a stingray's uterus?
To me, there's only one answer.
To me, too. I'm curious what you put.
It's Amy Coney Barrett.
Of course. Yeah. This woman
Take
is obsessed.
Take that for reproductive freedom.
With uteruses, and I think she deserves to live in one forever.
Yeah, no bodily autonomy.
That prone.
You must be trapped.
And she's
in
stuck in it forever.
Charlotte's uterus.
That's right.
Sorry, Charlotte.
She is... I am sorry to whatever Stingray has to carry that burden, but, you know...
It's really... It's, like, poetic. I really couldn't have written it better.
Right.
Like, obviously, Amy Coney Barrett.
That's correct.
In a stingray's uterus forever.
Well, and, you know, all those other pups in there just freaking stinging her all the time, right? You know?
Zap.
She's not immune.
That's
like,
right.
I assume they're immune. I don't know. I'm not a biology man. Okay. Who on the Supreme Court do you hope will accidentally and fall into the fires of Mount Doom while scuffling for control of the One Ring, parentheses, not murder?
I mean, similarly, I feel like there's only one right answer, and the answer is Samuel Alito. Like, here's why I picked him. Is this not Gollum in human form? Like, you know what I mean? Like, everything about this category screams Samuel Alito. He's messing with people. He's fucking up various journeys. And then he shows up at the last minute and he sort of helps you, but to steal this great, powerful thing. You know what I mean? And that's like his actual job, is he has this great, powerful thing that he wants to use to make life miserable for everyone. Now, Gollum got sort of like the poetic justice. Alito has not accidentally fallen into any lava yet. But I think metaphorically we can get him in there. I think so.
I selected... the human pube hovering on the edge of the fiery volcano soda can's hole. Goodbye, Clarence Thomas.
Goodbye. Goodbye. And good riddance.
Riddance. Who has to give Shaq or gets to give Shaq a pedicure?
Naturally, I picked Clarence Thomas for this one, and here's why. He should have to rub those stanky dogs for as long as Shaq wants. Clarence Thomas is the worst, and there's something about it that's pretty poetic because Clarence Thomas is a racist. So he's going to have to hang out with Shaq and rub and massage his feet. There's just something so beautiful about it. I had to pick Clarence Thomas.
I mean, to me, it's the farthest fall from Chief Justice to Shaq's corns and bunions. So I picked Chief Justice John Roberts.
And if you don't know, Shaq loves to get a pedicure.
He does.
And his foot looks like a tree root, like a gnarled root, but also that's like in a hoagie bun or something. Like, I feel like it's like cylindrical, but then.
James, have you seen his, like, does he?
Oh, yeah,
there's a picture.
I will post the picture on our Instagram, at
TextMeBackPod. Text me later.
He had those feet out on Inside the NBA.
Final category, who has to or gets to lick Barry's ear medicine? My dog Barry.
At least after you.
This, admittedly, I was a little bit like, but I feel like Ilana Kagan is like, I feel like she's like on the progressive side of the court, but not really.
She's
like on the
middle.
Conservative and progressive. So I feel like this is sort of like a, as you lick the medicine, I want you to remember. who got you here, right? Who are the people, like, what's really at stake? And so it's not fatal, it's unpleasant, but it's just a reminder.
Yeah,
that's why I picked Ilana Kagan.
I picked Brett Kavanaugh. To me, this was like the worst possible one, because in my mind, the medicine was already in Barry's ear, you know? I was like, that seems so perfect for him to
think Brett Kavanaugh deserves to get close to, like, our pumpkin prince.
Well,
thank you,
yeah,
Angela.
That's true.
Nice. You know, Barry's special, and Brett Kavanaugh's.
Yeah. Okay. But ideally, they'll all accidentally fall into non-fatal lava.
What if instead of lava, Mount Doom is full of the brown substance accumulating inside of Barry's ear when he hasn't had his ear medicine?
Now we're cooking with gas. Now
we're cooking with gas. Well, everyone.
We want to thank our guest, Angela
Gargoyles.
Thank you, and thank you for the beautiful necklaces.
I have one as my parting tiding.
Yes.
Someone in this audience anonymously texted editor and producer Jeannie Handel to tell you that, and we fact-checked it backstage, there is a McDonald's that has reopened from the Space Needle.
Oh, my God. What are we doing after this, gang?
All right, I'll see y'all there.
Grab the minivan. We're going to Austin. Bye, Angela.
Bye.
Look at our little necklace. It's so nice. Well, Angela's gone. You know what that means. We got to wrap this
Megan,
up.
We did another podcast.
That's right.
And we did it thanks to all of you who we love so much. So much. I mean, honestly,
so
this is so nice. It is weird. It's like we do this weird little thing from our houses in our pajamas. And then it's sort of the internet. It goes out into something, the cloud? I don't know. And it is so exciting to know that it's real and that you all listen to it. And it really means so much to us because it's very, like, very personal and special. It really is our real friendship and just us gabbing. And and it's very validating that you
Thank
all
you.
Are here. So we love you. Big round of applause for our show producers, Jeannie Yandel, Brandy Fullwood, and Jason Burrows.
Boo, 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 boo.
truly, like, corralling this situation weekly. And thanks to KUOW's events team, and thanks for Town Hall Seattle for hosting us. We had the best time. And thanks to all of you. We hope to see all of you again soon. And stay tuned for when you get to listen to this again. but without getting to look at how beautiful we are.
Sorry.
But hopefully you'll remember. And
I guess that's it. Should we go?
Should we go? Okay. Thank you so much. We love you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening to Text Me Back. If you like the show, please tell your best friend about us and rate and review us. It helps people find the show. Text Me Back is a production of KUOW in Seattle, a proud member of the NPR network. Our editor is Jeannie Yandel. Our senior producer is Brandy Fullwood. Our mixer is Jason Burrows.
Diana Bowen makes our video clips, and they are delightful. I'm not just saying that because we're in them. Go enjoy them at Text Me Back Pod on Instagram and TikTok. Our production team includes Michaela Giannotti Boyle, Amelia Peacock,
Alicia Villa,
Brendan Sweeney,
Hans Twight,
and Marshall Eisen.
Our music is by Chief Ahamefale J. Oluo.
Special thanks to our perfect angel, Isolde Raftery.
I'm Lindy West.
And I'm Megan Hatcher-Mays. See you next week.
At a time when information continues to come at us faster and faster, sometimes you need to hit pause and rewind. NPR's Throughline takes you back in time to the source of the news stories filling your feed. Find NPR's Throughline wherever you get your podcasts.